Hey, good morning. Welcome to Crossroads. Whether you're gathering in a big room or if you're gathering in your living room, we're going to get started here in just a minute or so. Excited to be with you today for second week of our Spark series. You know, one of the things that we do when we gather is it's a place where we just want to be real. And one of the things we do is we just bring our real expression to God through singing. So when we sing together as a community, there's real power in that. We're going to do that now. So if you're in the room, get ready to sing. If you're in your living room, turn the volume up. Put your earbuds on if you need to. We're excited for you to be a part of the service today. You're going to be glad that you came, and we are glad that you are here.
Hey, good morning, Crossroads. Great to have you guys here. My name's Robbie. And if you are here at Oakley, a special welcome to you. Crossroads Anywhere, folks, exceptionally excited that you are joining us. We're going to kick things off in our second week of Spark by doing things a little bit differently. We're going to start it off with just me and this guitar and you guys singing for a little bit. So regardless of where you are in your journey, we want to invite you to sing some of these words because we believe that that these articulate the journey that we're on, inviting God into them and telling him that we want him to be involved. So why don't you guys stand up, and I'm going to have you guys repeat this line after me, all right? So I'm going to go like this. That was all right.
Stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings, who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder, who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings.
Here we go.
This is amazing. Amazing grace, this is unfair. strength is failing. The end draws near and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Sing evermore. Oh,
God, I know that on my best days, I can sing a chorus like that. Why give anybody else the worship that you are due? Why give anybody else the praise that you're due? Why would I give anybody else my days? My best day, that's an honest prayer. And there are the other days where it's an aspirational prayer. I struggle to submit to your lordship, where you put your finger on something and you say, like, I want to be Lord of that too. So as we continue to sing, God, I ask that you would see our hearts, and that you would draw us to you in a way that our lives would fall more under your character, under your influence. Because the best thing I can do with my days is to bring you all the praise that you're due. That my hopes and my dreams and my plans would all carry the weight of and the beauty of who you are. So pray that you would receive us singing this song that says, you're Lord of all, and that we'll follow where you lead. Pray that you would see this for what it is. This is a lot of your children wanting to know you and follow you. Let's sing this together.
You are Lord of all. I'll follow where you lead. I lay at your feet, and you can have all. Oh, no. your feet, and you can have all of me. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. From you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
God, we just invite you into this time to say, we want to encounter more of you. We want to experience more of your character, more of your power in our lives, and ask that you would see our steps into this place or our watching on our devices or TVs around the world, that these are our silent prayers of wanting to say yes to you in some small way. So, thanks, God. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Guys, thanks so much for worshiping with us. So it's really great to get to spend this time with you. So do me a quick favor. If you're here at Oakley, say hi to somebody around you real quick. If you're at home, maybe go get a quick refill on your coffee. Readjusting your couch, and see you in a couple seconds.
Well, hey, everybody, how are we doing? Yeah, welcome to church. Hopefully you knew this was a church before you came here. If you didn't, don't run out the door. Wait, just turn to that friend that lied to you and punch him in the arm for telling you it was just a big coffee house that sings a lot. So thanks for coming here. I have to tell you something. It's not easy to say this in a church, but I hated church. Like, you might have hated church. I hated church and the people that went to it. I'm actually like, well done for coming to church today. Honestly, maybe someone invited you, or you drove past, you smelled the coffee, you came in, or you're joining us with Crossroads Anywhere, you're watching live because you stumbled upon the website. Hello, Crossroads Anywhere. Put some pants on. But I hated church, and let me back up to tell you why. Growing up, I would wake up early every Sunday morning. I'd have to put on some nice dress clothes. I'd pick out my favorite little clip-on tie. You know what I'm talking about. Put that bad boy on, get to church early. That way we made sure we got a front row spot so everyone else knew that we were at church. And I remember just sitting there like, I don't understand a word that you're saying. And I kind of looked to my left, you don't either. And look to my right, you're not happy to be here either. Why do you people come here? No one's happy to come here. And I can just remember, like, my favorite part of church, despite all that, my favorite part was leaving. So I'd walk out the door, I'd run to the car, I'd get in the back seat, I'd close the door, my parents would get in their front seat, close the door, and as soon as their door would shut, I would rip off my clip-on tie, and I'd yell, yeah, we got some sinning to do. That is a true story. That was church for me. Needless to say, I didn't really go growing up. I decided to stop going. Fortunately, my parents didn't make me go. In fact, I mentioned this. I mocked people who did. I hated them. I didn't understand why you would go and waste your time or convince others to go with you and waste their time. So flash forward a couple decades later. Things were going all right. I was top of my class. I had a job. I had drinking buddies. Everything was just fine. I didn't need God. That was the problem. Things were just fine. Nobody wants to be just fine. And despite all of these other external indicators of success, deep down I was feeling kind of empty and lost and without a purpose. And then one Christmas season in 2008, my friend Tripp said something that would change my life forever. Do you want to know what he said? I won't tell you that. Do you want to know what he said? Okay, I was going to tell you anyway. He said, hey, you should come check out my Christmas show. It's at my church. Oh, please. I'm like, dude, I've been to Christmas pageants before. He's like, no, it's not like that. It's this big production and tickets are free. I'm like, of course they're free. No one wants to go to a sucky Christmas show. But he's like, just trust me, okay? All right, this is meaningful to you. I'll go and I'll support you because you're my friend. So I went to a waited, and it changed my life forever. I can remember walking in. The coffee was free. What? That's crazy. But I remember coming in, and these people were singing, and they were dancing, and they were celebrating this God character who created everyone and everything. At least that's what they were saying. I didn't necessarily believe it at the time, but all of them did. And I remember thinking, man, I've never heard the story told this way. If this is who God is, and if this is what people's lives look like who are following him, maybe I want some of that. And so I started coming back to the weekend experience, like we're all a part of right now. And I started putting into practice the things that I was hearing. I found myself in community, true friendships, friends that I could laugh with and still have a drink with and also cry with. My life was changing because of a simple invitation to a thing that I would have never stepped foot inside. Want to come to my Christmas show? That sparked me. God used that invitation to change my life forever. And to this day, I have an unwavering calling to extend that same invitation to everyone that I meet because it's changed my life. So how do I do it? Well, it's hard. It's really hard. That's what she said. It's like a collective, well done. Well, hey, this is a real place for real people. It's difficult sometimes because I don't want to be that weird guy that stands on the corner and chucks Bibles at pedestrians' heads like, hey, read that. God loves you. Come to church. Like, I don't think that's going to work. But for me, the biggest thing I had to overcome was my reputation, feeling that others would make fun of me for extending an invite or that I would be turned down. I didn't want to, impose my beliefs on others. My religion's my thing. Your religion's your thing. That's fine. Let's just not talk about it. But hear me clearly. I respect others. I respect their beliefs. But if I have something good that's changed my life, why wouldn't I share that? If there was a sale going on down the road, or better yet, if there was an awesome cheeseburger at a restaurant down the street, you better believe you're all going to be hearing about it because it was delicious. God bless America. Cheeseburger, 100% grade A, Angus beef. You're going to hear about it. By the way, those Kohl's coupons expire this weekend, so make sure you get that Kohl's cash. Got it? Pro tip. You're welcome. So all throughout Scripture, God is instructing his people to be a light, to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to go and make disciples of all nations. I got to be honest, when I first read that, I didn't totally believe it, but I decided to give it a shot and to trust God on his word, that good things, not easy things, but good things were in store for those who followed him. You see, I decided my obedience to God is more important than my opinion from man. Healthy things grow and reproduce. Now, it's not about the numbers. It's not about how many people I invite. It's just about extending that opportunity for freedom that I've received to as many people as possible. There are no Christian points. Ugh. There's no extra favor from God. And in fact, all of this isn't even about Crossroads. I love Crossroads. It's changed my life. God has used it to change my life, but it's not about Crossroads. It's about God and connecting as many people to him as possible. The first people I invited were my parents. I actually invited them to a waited. They came, they loved it, they came back on the weekend, they started serving in kids club. Go kids club, whoop, there it is. They got baptized, they joined the communion team and the baptism team and then the Crossroads West Side launch team. And then my stepdad and I, we weren't ever really close growing up, but slowly but surely our relationship started growing stronger because we were connecting to God together. We went to man camp together. My dad and I just led a small group of men to Calcutta, India, with Go India. He and I have never been closer, and I'm happy to call him my mentor, my friend, and the best father in the world. My wife and I invite people a few different ways. Social media, honestly, is easy, and it's effective. If Crossroads posts something that's inspiring to me, I'll click share, because hopefully it'll be inspiring to others. Or we'll Instagram something that my wife and I and our kids are doing and hoping that people would see God in the midst of it.
I'll listen for cue words in conversations like marriage crisis, financial issues, trouble with my kids. Hello, yeah, got it. Right there with you. And I'll have the conversation that way. And other times, I'll just hear this small voice in the back of my head that says, invite them, and I'll decide to trust that that's God speaking. Because at the end of the day, the worst they can say is, no thanks. My skin has to be thicker than the possibility of a no thanks. To this day, I've invited about 1,000 people to church. 90% of them have said no, or have come up with a clever excuse not to. 10% have said yes. And the majority of that 10% are now in a growing and healthy relationship with their father. Their marriages have been redeemed, pasts have been restored, and addictions have been eradicated. I know because I'm one of them. And I can't take any credit for that, but God can. And God can use us, broken and imperfect people, to connect others to a perfect and compassionate father. In all of this, if something has sparked in you, please pass that spark along. You never know whose life is waiting to be ignited. In my 19 seconds that I have left, I want to leave you with this. Think of a person, picture that person in your head right now that needs to be invited. Think of them right now. Please invite that person. Thank you.
Hey guys, I hope you loved hearing from Matt Castleman as much as I did. Hey, every weekend at Spark, this is the cool thing. We're gonna hear from two different people, sometimes with two totally different ideas. We're having a little bit of fun with the countdown clock behind them. So you know, if you're loving it, you gotta lean in. There's only a couple minutes left. If you're not really loving it, no big deal. You can just watch the countdown timer go down. We're sort of on to the next thing. I'm excited to tell you about how I think we can take some of these ideas we're hearing about the weekend and really start to apply them to our life. And for me, the key to that is community. If you would just go to Facebook and search the Crossroads Anywhere Facebook group, this is your sort of window into finding community wherever you are. We have people all around the country. Literally every day, there's people in that Facebook group who are sort of announcing where they are and finding and connecting with people who are also in their neighborhood, who they're able to attend the weekend with, be in small groups with. It's phenomenal. The other way that you can do that is to text us. You can text us at 513-402-0289 whenever you want. You can ask us anything you want. And in particular, we'd love to help you find people around you who you could be in community with. We'd also love to pray for you. It's really a free-for-all. Whatever you want to do, we would love to help you out with that. One of the things we always sort of answer via text is service time. So that's kind of a common question. I'd love to give you some updates on that. We've actually created about a dozen more opportunities for people all around the world to attend Crossroads services. And so you can go to live.crossroads.net and see on there that we've added times on Saturday, Sunday for our West Coast friends that are later in the day, actually service times all throughout the week. And in particular, we're actually going to change one of our Sunday morning service times. We've had an 11:55 service for a long time. We're actually going to move that to 11:45. So if you attend online, just sort of note that change. You're actually a part of our Oakley community. That's an Oakley service time that is changing. And so you want to get here a little bit earlier. If you are around the Cincinnati area, I have a couple opportunities for you to sort of get involved and get some traction on some of these things that are igniting our life. One of them is called Meals to Go. It's an awesome service opportunity that we have every summer. These last couple years, we've gotten together as families. You can bring your kids, everybody, the whole crew, and pack beans and rice. We ship over hundreds of thousands of meals over to South Africa, where we've had partners and relationships. We actually get to help sustain life over there. It's an incredible opportunity. You can learn more about it at crossroads.net/meals-to-go. I'd love for you to sign up. The other thing you can sign up to be a part of is Undivided. We've had thousands of people a part of this movement to combat racism in our cities and really sometimes in ourselves. And we've been a part of incredible conversations. It's really a movement. And if you'd love to learn more about that or become a part of the next journey, it's starting here soon. You can go to crossroads.net/undivided to sign up and learn more. I'm really excited about all these things. The truth around here is that they're fueled by the generosity of everyday people like you and me. Regardless of where we are in the country, there's no sort of phantom fat cats. There's no people writing big checks. It's people like you and me who want to see the life change that God creates through many of these opportunities. And so we're going to have a time to be generous. We do this every week. It's really if you call Crossroads home, this is when we sort of all give to the things we feel like God is calling us to. One of the things I'm obviously most excited about is the opportunity all of us have to be a part of Crossroads regardless of where we live. And so I'd love to, as we take up an offering, for you to hear a story from a community that would otherwise be really disconnected. And now we get to actually call our friends, because through Crossroads Anywhere, they get to be a part of our community, and we couldn't be more excited about that.
Being clubbing.
Never been in trouble before, and certainly never been to prison. I mean, the last 20 years of my life, I've been, you know, a career military soldier. When I came to prison, it was definitely an eye-opener.
Got involved with some people that used drugs and just living the street life, and I kind of got sucked down that path. Got addicted to drugs and alcohol and started robbing people, and just took me down a path that landed me ultimately in prison.
When I was 13, there was a civil war in my country, and I was involved in the war. It had a lot of impact on me. It's changed my life drastically.
In this environment, a lot of times we don't like to express or our true feelings or even show any type of vulnerability.
You know, it kind of felt like the Lord speaking to me, saying, well, you believed in me before, but, you know, faith that's not tested can't be trusted.
I was starting to get caught up in religion, but then God was trying to show me something like, keep your mind off of religion. It ain't about religion. It's about the relationship.
I was raised up in a church, but church was just a tradition for me. Coming to prison have actually opened my eyes gradually. God have used this time to actually teach me that I cannot just do whatever I want to do.
You know, coming to Crossroads, it was just an eye-opening experience when you heard, whether it be Brian or Chuck, you know, mention the guys at Lebanon Correctional. You know, hear the crowd cheering for us was different.
Just, like, made me feel like there are people out there that still love us. There are people out there that's praying for us.
Crossroads really did show me a new light, a new way to walk, and where to value people, and where to actually look up to other people who are willing to give a happy hand.
I love everything that y'all do. I enjoy the ministry. I enjoy the fellowship, the extended family and community that comes here into Lebanon. It has blessed my life and enriched it greatly. It has taught me that it's okay to be vulnerable. It has taught me and encouraged me to open up more and to be able to share as I'm doing now.
Hey everybody, good morning. My name is Allie Patterson, and I am one of the pastors on staff here at Crossroads. I've been a part of this community with many of you in this room for probably, I'd say, going on 15 years. So whether you know it or not, you're my people. And thank you for having me here with you today. It really is an honor. When I was first invited to consider being a part of the Spark series, I really gave some earnest thought to what are we trying to do with this series? And I considered really most deeply the question of what is it that I have hold of so firmly that I could maybe hope to spark it in you. And the first things I really thought through were some things that I'm learning. See, I'm in seminary right now, and I love it. I love to learn. I'm probably, honestly, a bit of a nerd. And there's just all kinds of things that I would love to be able to, you know, unpack and lay out for you that are fascinating me. That's not what we're going to do, so you can breathe a collective sigh of relief. No academic study here today. Maybe some other day, though, that would be fun. What I want to do is actually much more simple. Today, I want to spark hope. I have met our God of hope, and I want to spark hope in you. I decided firmly that this was the topic for me after I spent the weekend at Woman Camp, which was several weeks back. Anybody in here there? Okay. So I spent the weekend on the prayer team, and our job was just to receive any woman all weekend long that wanted prayer, and I ended up praying for hundreds of your marriages. And as I listened to woman after woman and story after story, I thought firmly, this is what I need to talk about. I need to tell you the two-word prayer that began my journey with the God of hope. In order to do that, I have to invite you into the context of my marriage. See, anything good that is in my home life, in my marriage, in my family, it all started with this story. I've been married for 17 years, and we have four beautiful kids. I know, I don't look old enough to be married 17 years, right? That's what you were all thinking. Thank you. The truth is, we did get married young. I was about 22 years old when we got married, and I think that's pretty young for today. When we first got married, we moved to Cincinnati. I was at Procter & Gamble. My husband's an attorney, and so I think we were sort of like, we thought we were good people, good jobs, doing good things. We're good. Most of the context of our life was wrapped around our careers. That's what was most important to us at the time, and so we found most of our fun, most of our friendship, and probably all of our fulfillment really in the context of our work. And as I look back on this time, I think, what we were doing is we were just pursuing selfishness. We were just doing it alongside each other. So it worked for us for some period of time. What we didn't understand is that there was actually something to this being married thing. We had no idea what it meant to be a husband or a wife. We really weren't intentionally building the foundation of our relationship together. And so some very, very wide cracks were forming slowly and silently in the foundation of our marriage. We both fell into one of those very large cracks when I had an affair with someone at work. The story of these relationships is never original. Never. Small lies, small decisions. You blow by the red flags that you have internally. You trade on the trust of the people that know and love you the best. And as you make decision after decision, as I made choice after choice to walk into a relationship that I knew was wrong, that I knew was disgusting, there are also real powers of darkness that are happy to jump on the back of that and hold you in that place, like I was, until you can no longer see behind you. I couldn't fathom, how in the world am I ever going to go back into a marriage that I've pretty much killed? But how could I go forward? I can't honestly see a future that starts like this. And I ended up in a place where I was living a compartmentalized life. These people can't know these people, and let's just try to hold this all together at the seams before it collapses. And I was totally hopeless. I had taken up running at this time. I'd actually been a runner since probably college. I still love to run, and so running for me at this time became sort of an escape. I kicked up the mileage, and I would literally run for hours. And sometimes I would talk to God, because I think I was sort of coming back toward him in my life at this time. But you can't fully engage God. I couldn't, not in the place I was in. I just knew he was kind of there, and so I would take these runs, and sometimes I would try and talk with him. And I began to discover the truth that is now in my favorite psalm. It's Psalm 139. This is verse 7 and 8. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. God was turning up the heat on me. He was squeezing me, and I didn't know it. Until one day, I was on a run, and I could take you to the exact square on the sidewalk, the very one where I reached a turning point. I was running, and as I was running, I started to cry. And I cried, and I cried. I was like a crazy person running down the street crying. And as I turned a corner, I came to the point where I was crying so hard, I couldn't run anymore. And I stopped on this square of sidewalk. And I started talking to God, and I was begging him. And I said, I can't live like this anymore. I can't do this. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. All I know is, I can't do this anymore. And I prayed the two words that sparked hope in my life. They'd been sitting on my heart for probably about a week. I don't know where they came from. I knew I needed to pray them, and I was terrified. And the two-word prayer that I prayed that sparked all hope that I've had since that moment was, break me. Break me. I didn't say fix it. I didn't say help me. I said, break me. That is a desperate invitation from a totally hopeless person. I was asking God to go around me, go behind my back, go over my head, do whatever you need to do, but get me out of this. I can't even do what's best for me anymore. Break me. And that day sparked hope. I didn't feel it, didn't think so, finished the run, went back to my life as normal, as I'd been living, for probably a week or two. And then I got a little tap on my shoulder at work, and it was my boss. And she said to me, you need to come with me. There's some people that want to talk to you, and I think this is going to be very uncomfortable for you. My heart started beating really fast. And I got up and followed her, and you can imagine how I felt. We walked through 2-3 buildings downtown, all P&G buildings, and over to a little room where I would be interviewed for 3 hours about the relationship that I'd been involved in. And on that walk, I made God a promise because I knew it was him. When I prayed that prayer, I knew two things. Number one, he was waiting for me to ask him. He was waiting. And number two, he was going to answer. And this day, this was his answer. To this day, I don't know how that went down. I don't need to know because I know that was God. I knew on the moment it was him. And so as I'm walking through the buildings, I'm having a conversation in my mind with God, and I'm saying, I promise you, whatever is about to happen, I know this is you, and all I can think to do right now is start telling the truth. All afternoon, every question I was asked, I answered with absolute truth. I think this surprised them. I really don't think that's what they were expecting. The people who were in the room left the room at one point, and they left me alone with someone, and it was the HR lady. God bless you, HR people in here. That is not the person I wanted to be with. I'd spent some period of time avoiding anyone with HR in their title. I didn't know this woman. We were strangers. And I was sitting across the table from her with my head down, more ashamed than I'd ever been in my entire life. And I heard her say from across the table, can I pray for you? And I looked up and I said, what did you say? And she said, can I pray for you? I have no idea what she prayed. All I know is the entire room filled up with the presence of God. It was like he was in my ears saying, this is me. Keep coming this way. When hope sparks, he is coming. And that's what I found out on that terrible afternoon. I actually encountered God in the middle of that crazy day. My role in this afternoon is worth going back and taking a quick peek at because I didn't know what I was doing, right? But what I did, I now know to be what the Bible calls repentance. And that sounds like a weird Bible-y word, but all it means is you're facing one way, and repent means to turn around and face the other direction. And that promise I made to God was actual repentance. It was me just simply turning and going, I'm not going to go that way. I'm just going to turn around, and I'm going to look this direction. And what I discovered is as soon as that takes place, our God of hope starts behaving very, very differently in our life. I told you I'm a bit of a Bible geek. At least I aspire to be. That's aspirational for me. And there are all these books in the middle, which even those of you that read your Bibles, come on, let's do it. Even those of you that read your Bibles probably don't read these guys. They're people like Zephaniah and Isaiah and Haggai, half the words, half the names you can't even say. I'm with you on that. But they all have something in common because they were guys who were sent from God to his people at similar stages when his people had sort of wandered away from him. And he sent these prophets in various times to various people in various situations to basically say one thing, come back to me. And when you read it, it says, repent. And then you picture angry people yelling. But actually what's going on is God going, please come back to me. Turn around, and when you do, I'm going to be your God, and you're going to be my people, and we're going to do this thing. In Isaiah 59:20, it says the Redeemer comes to those that repent of their sins. To redeem means to buy back. To buy back. We have a redeeming God who wants to buy me back at the lowest point. Pay for me then. I learned something about honesty that day and a lot of days that followed that. I now know that we have a God. He's pretty okay with us dealing in waves of honesty. He knows what's happening, right? This isn't for him. But that afternoon, he set something in front of me, and we dealt with it, honestly. And then I moved on into the coming days and weeks and months, and each time he would set something in front of me, then we would try to deal with it honestly. And it's okay for me to do that a little bit at a time because God is trying to get me to the point that happened one morning at my house where I could finally see something I could never see before. I was walking by a mirror in my house, and I caught a glimpse of my own reflection, and luckily I was alone. And I stopped, and I looked square in the mirror, and I just stared at myself for a second. And then I began to see myself, maybe for the first time. And I said, I know who you are. You can't lie to me anymore. You're an adulterer, you're a liar, you're a cheater. And you are definitely not the person that you tried to be. And that was critical for me to reach the point where I could see the fullness of who and what I had become without God. He needed me to see that in order for us to move on into this journey of hope. What he is after is to dump out grace on me. And unfortunately for us, we usually take grace best in the lowest spot. And I needed to get pretty low to get the amount of grace that I was going to need for what was about to happen. Ephesians 2 talks about this God of grace. But because of his great love for us, God who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. By grace, he kills the life behind and brings a new one out. And in order to take this grace, I had to come to the point where I could see who I was without him so that I could receive it. Grace is the fuel for a life of hope. We were going to do some pretty tough things in the coming months. As a matter of fact, I would say, I don't think you could do any of this and come out on the other end whole without grace. And that's why it was so important for me to be in a spot where I could actually take it. The first thing that I knew needed to happen after this was the day that I got a hold of the fact that I needed to go home and confess. Yeah. That. And when I realized this is what needs to go down, I tried anything. Surely there has to be another way. You don't really mean that I'm going to go home and I'm going to just say it. That can't be what's going to happen. There's got to be some other plan. And there was not. And after I panicked and ran out of the building I was in and sat behind the parking garage for a while, I decided if I'm going to have anything real, this is it. So I went home, and I'll never forget the little Christmas tree that was lit up in the corner of our living room. And I stood and looked at my house for a minute and my Christmas tree, and I thought, everything I know is about to change. And I let that sink in, and then I forced the words out of my mouth. And my husband listened, and he turned around, and he walked out of the house without a word. I didn't know if he was going to come back. I didn't know if he would come back for many days that followed that one. But I know that we both knew the God who gives grace for the really tough stuff. And I went all in. We're all in at this point. I needed grace to continue to face the consequences of what this relationship had done in my life. I needed to face consequences and truth on every single front, every front. And I needed grace to continue to do that. Little things and big things, stuff like getting counseling from a nun. Yeah. I needed grace for things like, why don't you give your husband every account and password you have access to? And as a matter of fact, why don't you tell him anything he wants to know? And I needed grace so badly for things like, let's agree for the rest of your life, you're never going to develop another individual friendship with a man, ever. That stands to this day, by the way. Well more than a decade later. Some of you in here need to hear that today. No, that friendship isn't any different. No, you can't be friends with that person if you want to stay married. And my husband, oh my goodness, did he need grace. He needed grace upon grace to do everything he didn't want to do. He needed the grace to follow God over top any emotion that he had, any thoughts that he had. Of course he wanted to go. Of course he did. And he needed grace to follow God instead of that. His grace was for things like just go home at night. Agree to go to couples counseling. Understand you had a role in it. And eventually, he needed so much grace to finally utter the words, I forgive you. and even more grace to mean that all the way through. This is not his story. He would tell you a completely different angle. I wish we had time for the 100 angles. I mean, we're in, right? It would be great to just go for it, but we don't have that kind of time. There's a clock. We didn't have a plan. We had no idea what we were doing, no idea. I didn't know what I was doing then. I don't have bullet points for you now. What I know is we both knew a God who was interested in saving us, who was trying to give us grace, and who was pulling us through with his hope for our future. All we had was a God of grace and the next right thing. And we were trying to do that in the middle of a culture and sometimes in the middle of friendships and family relationships that really didn't value that at all. There was a very long list on one side of people and of a culture saying things like, F her, she's not worth it, she's just going to do this again. You don't even have kids! Just get out. Just leave. It would be so easy. Just go. Just start over. You deserve so much better. And the answer to the question, why stay? Because that's the question, right? You would be asking your friend that. Why stay? It's the same as the answer to the question that I got about doing this weekend. In case you haven't noticed, this is not super fun. Not fun. I would just rather meet you in the atrium. I'd rather you see my four gorgeous kids and go, aren't they a nice family? We are. We're nice. What good does that do you? The answer to the question, why stay, and the answer to the question, why talk about this, they're the same. So that you can meet this God, the God of renewed vows, the God who rescues people, the God who redeems marriages, the God who never stops giving grace, never. You can't outgive this God. You cannot get to the bottom of his grace. Actually, in Romans, we learn it expands to cover you. Expands. It's expandable. You cannot get outside of its bounds once you invite in the God of hope. He isn't going anywhere. And there's such rich, rich payoff. If you leave, you never meet that God. I guarantee you, you will not know him if you go. If you run away from whatever you've got, that God, you're never going to know him. What you were looking at is a picture of our 15th wedding anniversary, which happened a couple of years ago. And we celebrated. We love to celebrate because it's a long road, so why not? 15 years, and we had a couple couples with us, just a few friends who've been major, major cheerleaders of our marriage. And we renewed our vows together. We wrote our own vows, now knowing what we know, being who we are. And we celebrated. And that little lady in between us at the time was only 2 years old. She's our fourth child, and her name is Hope. Her name is Hope Isabel, which means hope in the promises of God. I posted this picture on Facebook. It became my profile picture for a little while because I thought it was adorable. And someone who we're acquainted with, you know, one of those, oh, well, you know, like all your Facebook friends, one of those. He put a caption on the picture, like typed it in as a comment, but it read like a caption, and it says, held together by hope. And when I read that caption, I thought, so true. That's the truest thing you could ever say. We have literally been held together by the God of hope. And if there was one thing that I could leave you with, it would be that the God of hope always finishes what he starts. I know what his plan is for your life if you want to follow him, because it's the same as mine. The Bible says his big plan for our life is to be conformed into the image of his son, Jesus. It's not happy marriage. It's not enjoy your weekend. It's not be totally satisfied with the perfect spouse. It's be conformed into the image of Jesus. And he'll use anything you throw at him to make that happen. He's after one thing, your agreement to that plan. Will you go all in with the God of hope? Will you invite him into your mess and have the guts to turn around? Because as soon as you do, our God of hope starts dumping out grace. And he never, never gives up. My goal now is to get to the sidewalk moment as fast as I can. Because it's on the sidewalk that I give up on myself. I give up on my plan. I give up on whatever I was trying to do. And I invite in a God who's so much bigger than that. And we discovered the truth that is hidden in Romans 5. The writer of this passage is a guy named Paul. And he begins before this by saying, you're standing in grace. You are standing in it. And therefore, you can glory in your suffering. Because suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts. We have a God whose hope never puts us to shame. It finishes what it starts. And I want that for you more than I want you to think I'm a sweet person with a nice family. I want that for you bad enough that I'll stand up here and tell you the worst moment of my life because it's when I met him. And I want that for you. I'm going to pray for you. And I really hope that you consider inviting him in. And if you're at the point where you need the break me prayer, take it. I would do it all over again for the payoff. Father, thank you for being a God that does things way beyond our imagination. Thank you for being the God of hope. Thank you for new life. I want that for every single friend in this room. I want that for our entire community. I want you to dump out grace, to leave what's in the past dead and do something better. Please give us the courage we need to respond to your invitation to come back. Amen. Thank you.
Hey, let's thank Allie for sharing the story. Wow. Well done. Yes. So much courage, so much heart for you to do this. And you said you want to spark hope, and I think you know by the standing ovation, you sparked a lot of hope today. You really did. You really did. Hey, guys, I want to just encourage you. We're going to talk some resources, some next steps, because I know that this story probably hit some of us in a really personal place. But I do want to do one thing. The truth is, I know in a room this size, folks that are watching us online, there's probably many people who want to spend some time with Allie and say, hey, here's my story and what you shared. What about this? What about that? She can't do that for you. She can't. There's only one of her, and there's so many of us. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do, seriously. To protect her, to guard her time and her family's time and her capacity and space, she has given of herself. Here's what I'm asking you to do. If you see her, even after today, if you see her in the mall, if you see her at the pool, if you think, oh, that's that lady that told that story, you have freedom to go up and say thank you and nothing else to her. That's it. Can we keep that agreement? Seriously, can we keep that agreement? Thank you. Thank you. And I just want to pray for her. She has been bold and courageous. She got one more to do. And she is just, you can do it. You can absolutely do it. You've been bringing it all weekend long with just honesty and vulnerability. So let's pray for her. God, thank you for this woman. Thank you for how she has shown us who you are through her story. And God, I thank you for the redemption that is happening in her life and in her and Bill's marriage and in their family. And they are a great family. They're a family that you smile upon because you have redeemed things that the enemy thought were long lost. Mm-hmm. And that's what you do. And we thank you because you'll do that in us as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let's thank Allie again. So a couple things before you leave. One is, hey, if you're at a place in your life, whether it be in your marriage or elsewhere, where you're ready to pray that break me prayer, I want to encourage you to stay in your seat after service and spend some time praying with our prayer team. We've got volunteers that would love to come alongside you as you invite God into whatever it is that you want to see him redeem. I want to encourage you to take advantage of that. Stick around for that prayer. Also, I know that there are probably people in here who have marriages that are in a difficult place. Not probably, I know there are. And I want to point you to some resources. You can go to crossroads.net/marriage resources. If you grab a program, there's a block about this as well. And I want to point out two resources that you'll find on that site. One is a group called Third Option. And Third Option is a powerful group experience for marriages in crisis that you can jump into and join nearly any time. And I'm just telling you, I have dozens and dozens of stories of couples I've personally referred to Third Option that have seen incredible redemption. So point that out to you as a resource if you need it. Also, you're going to find a list of counselors. These are counselors that we vetted, people that we send people to here at Crossroads. And I know that if you pick up the phone and call any of those counselors, you're going to find a partner in the journey of hope, the journey of redemption, and all the difficult process that may be, but God is in that process. I believe God wants to redeem things that the enemy has long thought broken in our lives in the same way that he's done it in Allie and Bill's life. So, hey, if you're coming to the Connect event, I'll meet you over there in a few minutes in Meeting Room A. Also, if you're online watching, you can email us. There's a prayer email right there. If you want to pray that prayer, send an email, and someone will get back to you with that. You can also send any questions around Connect on that. So if you're going to the Connect event, see you there. If not, we'll see you next weekend. Thanks for being here, everybody.